So would you hand this out, please? The chart, the Revelation chart. Who has the Revelation chart? It's not here. Where? Okay, while they go get that thing. I made this Revelation chart for those who like to see everything in chronological order, because one of the reasons why the people have a hard time understanding Revelation is because it's not in chronological order. So this will help you. Some of other peers, other Bible students, no, take this one. This is a new one, it's improved. There was some mistake that I gave to you last time. So everybody get it. Other people did chapter by chapter, but this one is a verse by verse. It will help you a great deal. What happened? Is there more here? One thing I ask you to do during the teaching, don't look at this, because if you read this, you're not going to get what I'm teaching. Is there more over there? How many of you guys are considering going to Israel with me next November? 1, 2. Francisca, are you going? Okay. All right. If you like to go to Israel with me next November, you can start to save the $200 per month per person. Then by the time September rolls up, you will have enough money to go. You don't have to cop up the $2,200 per person. And if you're worrying about what if there's a battle going on in the Jerusalem or bomb goes off, let me put it this way. If you go to Tucson, you drive down the South 6th Avenue, you'll have more chance to get killed there than Israel. Guess how many people went to the Israel for the Holy Land trip, and guess how many people got killed, or guess how many people got injured because of the conflict over there? None. Do you think God can take care of you? If He cannot take you, this flies. If God cannot take care of you, He's not God. That much I can promise you. Claudia, would you come on up, please? Claudia Soyo is our bookstore manager. You saw the big bookstore outside, right? Use one, that microphone. What we do is we are introducing each ministry each Sunday, and so I choose to interview this Claudia and asking her, on behalf of you guys, this is the question I would ask, what do I have to do to get the books from the library?
Okay, we've got a list of
books. Hey, Carl? Would you hello there, thank you.
I've got a list of books in a binder that's over on the book table. And we've also got a list, the same list on the website, ccos.org. And if you see a book in there that you want, all you have to do is email me or phone me or ask me in person and I'll bring it following Sunday.
Okay. How can I check out the books? If I miss a Sunday or two, is there any way I can get a copy of Pastor's sermon?
Yes, we have copies of the sermon. Pastor gives me a CD of it every Sunday. And also Thursday night Bible studies are on CDs. If you want a copy for yourself, they're $3, or you can just borrow it out of the library and then return.
Also, you can download the sermon from the internet. I pretty much put it on the internet as well as sermon notes. Those who like to print them out and read while you're listening from this website, you can do that too. All right. If I'm looking for a particular book to buy, could I buy it through the bookstore?
Yes. Any book that you see that you want to buy, I will try and find the best price for you. Calvary Distribution is my first choice, but I also go to a lot of different sources on the internet. And I can usually find a pretty good
There's another benefit is there's no sales tax. This is one time you can dodge the Uncle Sam. Can I donate the book to the library?
Yes, if you have any books, I'd be more than happy to take them, and we process them through Pastor and the elders, and then I prepare them and add them to the list.
Okay.
We have quite a few books that I'm still preparing for the library.
How can I get involved with the bookstore and library ministry? Ministry application.
And I can always use help because every once in a while I do like to take a Sunday off and I'll go out of town and spoil my grandkids. So if anybody wants to help me out, please see me.
All right. Thank you, Claudia. All right. Open your Bible with me to Revelation chapter 6. Now that this is the time really the things hit the fan. This is the start of the tribulation. We cannot separate the word tribulation away from the book of Revelation. As a matter of fact, the tribulation starts from this chapter 6, goes all the way to the chapter 19. So the majority part of the Revelation is regarding tribulation. Things happen on earth to those who don't believe Jesus Christ. Many people are fascinated about this tribulation period, and of course that several Christian authors wrote books about it, and I have particularly two authors in mind that who really did well, and they made a lot of money. They don't even have to work the rest of their lives because their series was so successful. You guys know that as the Left Behind series. However, we have to keep in mind, we must remember that the book of Revelation is not about what's happening on earth. That's not the main point. As I told you before, the book of Revelation is written to encourage, to give hope to those who are suffering under the persecution in the past and as well as now and the future. It is important for us to have that in mind and have that perspective. Otherwise, we read this book as nothing more than fortune-telling book. We should not have that kind of mindset. I start with verse 1 of chapter 6. Before we go there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we won't be here on earth when the tribulation starts because you will take us home. And you will take us home to be with you, and we will rejoice in you in heaven. For those who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will suffer through this difficult time. When the heaven falls apart, and when the things fall apart from the heaven, and the things on earth will go berserk. But we are grateful that we won't be here because by grace of God, it is not something what we have done, but what you've done on the cross. By grace and mercy of God, we can avoid all of that. We thank you. Now, open our heart to receive what you want us to know. And please forgive the one who's speaking, for his sins are many. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, now I saw that when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. Verse 2, and I looked and behold a white horse, he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown, on the line crown please, was given to him, and he went out in conquering and to conquer. Scroll cannot be opened without breaking the seals. Each time when the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, break the seals, the sentence of judgment goes out. Each seal was opened, and there's a four living creatures proclaim that, come and see. Actually, if you look at this in Greek word correctly, In my opinion, the New King James Version is not correct, making a correct translation. It's supposed to be just simply come. What does it mean? It means that God is telling through these four living creatures what to do. He's completely directing what course of the history they should take. Just because things go so wrong and goes haywire on earth because during the time of tribulation, that doesn't mean God lost control. As a matter of fact, he's in complete control because he's the one who is holding the scroll. He's the one who is opening the scroll. The horse imagery originated from the Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7 and 17. And the horse represented God's activity on the earth and the force that he chose to use. Let me put it this way. Don't get excited because you're being used by God. We all are all used by God for his glory. As a matter of fact, the devil is being used by God. To our surprise, devils are used by God for his glory. So if you think that you are some special person because you are being used by God, think again. God will use anyone. God used foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God used me to speak to you guys. That's mind-boggling in my opinion. So don't think too highly of yourself and myself because we've been used by God. Turn your Bible with me to Daniel chapter 9, please. Daniel 9:26. Daniel is right behind Ezekiel. Daniel 9:26. We are going to go to this verse quite often during the study of tribulation, so please be minded for this verse. We'll start from verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9. And after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself, but the people of the prince, underlying prince, who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end, and the war of the war and desolation are determined. Verse 27 says, then he shall, confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And you might want to put the parenthesis there, 7 years. 1 week. A lot of times each day in Greek word in the term of a year. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring to the end to sacrifice an offering. On the wings of abomination shall be the one who makes a desolate, and until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. And you might want to jot it down, the abomination of desolation for that portion, the latter portion of the verse 27. Daniel stated, a prince who is to come. Who would that be, this prince? Who make a covenant with Israel and protecting her from all the enemies around her. Nowadays, you've been reading news from the newspaper and then TV, that there's a lot of conflict going around the Middle East. It's not something new. It's been going around the last 3,000 years. Palestine and the Arab nation hate the guts of Israeli people. So any way they can, they try to destroy the Israel. However, this prince, people of prince, will come and he will be the one who is going to make a covenant with everyone around that Middle East and protecting Israel, going from the victory to victory without a war. How do I know? Did you notice I asked you on the line of bow? It didn't say bow and arrow. Bow and arrow would signify the war with other people, but he just has a bow. He has a military might, yet he's not using that might. And he has a crown. I actually underlined the crown, and this is one of those crowns in Greek word, Stephanos. Stephanos is a victor's crown. How many of you guys watch the Olympics? I did it just about every night because my wife loved that kind of thing. And then, of course, the American players, athlete goes onto the podium and they play the Stars and Spangled Banner. And they wear these funny-looking leaves around. That's a victor's crown. That's a wreath. That's what we know as the Stephanos. However, he's the Antichrist. He's the one wearing the Stephanos. However, Jesus Christ, in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, he's now wearing the Stephanos. He's wearing diadem. Diadem is kingly crown. It's not just any crown, but it's a kingly crown. So there's a tremendous difference. This Antichrist, the rider on the white horse, some people think that, some theologians think that, and some of you guys might think that he is Jesus Christ. He is not Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is not coming this early. This is the Antichrist who will sway the people's heart and win the people's heart with his peaceful tactic. However, that is nothing more than facade, and it's nothing more than front tactic to win people's heart and to start his own domain. Let's go to verse 3 of chapter 6. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." You will notice that each seal is open and the living creatures will say, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, underline fiery red, please, went out, and it was granted to be the one who sit on it and take a piece from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Notice the how it gets changed from he's having the bow without an arrow, all of a sudden now there is a war. Wars will happen. Antichrist conquest begins with a peace, as I said, and it's going to be quickly changed to war. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the age of the war and conflicts. Since World War II, there's been more than 150 well-known war happened around the world, killing thousands of people. Any given moment, any given time, there's a list of 3 dozen armed conflict happens around the world. Let me put it this way. The nations around the world spend more than $1 trillion. That is $1,000 billion. I don't think we can even possibly imagine how much that is. $1 trillion per year just for the military expense. Let me put it in a different term. There are 60,000 thermonuclear bombs around the world as a war stockpile. That's enough to destroy the earth for 17 times over. Do you think we have enough firepower for each other? Yes, you can bet your life on that thing. And this, some of the stockpile nuclear warhead will be used during the time of tribulation. So if you're thinking that, oh, I don't have to believe in Jesus Christ, I'll survive through tribulation, guess what? It won't be the same. And you most likely you will be the good ratio of the getting killed. All right. Anyone who thinks there can be a true political solution for the world peace, let me give you this piece of advice. Fat chance. There won't be a political solution for the world peace. You know why? Because as long as we want power, there'll be a war because somebody else wants the power too. Let's go to James chapter 4, please. James is right after Hebrews, right before 1 Peter in the New Testament. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and the fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder, covet, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Truly, any man who can think that the world peace can achieve with a political movement and you will get nothing but a disappointment. How many of you guys remember the Jimmy Carter making an agreement between Premier the Israel and the President of Egypt? Remember that time? Everybody thought, wow, Jimmy Carter should get the Nobel Peace Prize. Uh-uh. How long did it last? A couple months? And how long did the Palestine and the Israeli people make an agreement in the Gaza Strip, cease fire? How long does it last? A couple hours? That's about it. They cannot stand at each other's side. So they have to go at each other's. It's not just a Middle East case. North and South Korea. And down, go down to South America. It's not just drug war. It's a territory war. Bottom line is they want the power. So they cannot stand each other's side. So the first thing they want to do, they want to eliminate each other's. Verse 5. Now we find the third seal. We find the severe famine. When he opened and third sealed, I heard and third the living creature said, come and see. So I looked and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of the scale in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the living creature saying, a quart of wheat for the denarius and a three quart of barley for the denarius. And do not harm oil and wine. I don't believe these are the real rider and real horse. As I said before, horse imagery is nothing more than God's way of using the things happen on earth. What's happening is the black horse is naturally representing the famine. Famine goes right after wars. Because the war destroyed all the harvest materials, and so there won't be a whole lot of food to go around. So the government do the ration. A denarius is known as one day's wage. So if you make, let's just make an example. If you make $100 a day, with $100 you can buy a certain amount of food. But all of a sudden, that $100 will not be able to buy enough food for your family. It only can buy one Big Mac. That would be bad. That's about what it's like here. One denarius could buy the 2 pints of wheat. But at that point, however, normally one denarius could buy 16 to 24 pints of wheat. So you can see how much inflation doubled up. It went up like a 10 to 12%. 12,000% went up. So inflation goes up, then lack of food. However, did you notice that there will be a problem with the oil and wine? It represents oil and wine is for the luxurious things. So the rich people will continue to go on. And meanwhile, the poor people will not be able to make a living. So if you work all day long, you're able to buy the food for yourself, but you cannot buy the food for your family. What does it mean? The Antichrist will come up with a promise that he will reform the economical system, that he will provide food for everyone. And that paved the way for the mark of beast, where everybody have a system without cash. Let's go into the verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. Verse 8. So I looked and behold a pale horse, underline pale horse, please. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. The power was given to them over a force of the earth to kill with a sword and with a hunger and with the death by the beast of the earth. I actually underlined the word pale. This is actually, its true meaning is yellowish green. Have you ever seen the dead body? When you see the dead body, you will notice it has no blood color, no pinkish color. It's yellowish green. Literally, it's the color of the dead body. this is the consequences of the first one starting with the Antichrist and the war and famine and pestilence. So there will be a lot of people who are dying because of this situation. This is the three element, listen to me please, this is the three elements that God used to bring the Israeli people to repentance. God is not just simply judging these people to just to idea of the, just to hurt them. God is using this element of judgment for them to repent because God still loves them. What do they do? We'll find out. According to U.S. Census Bureau, this is what I found out from them yesterday from the internet. At mid-year 2002, there were 6.2 billion people on the face of the earth. 6.2 billion. I heard 1 billion goes to Chinese people. There are a lot of people in the China. That means every two people, just over a little bit over two people were born every second. 74 million people will be added on to the dead population by end of the year. So by end of this year, year 2004, I'm guesstimating that there will be 6.4 billion people on the face of the earth. Let's say, I'm not making a date. Let's say sometime early part of next year, like a first part of January, rapture happens, so we all go up. Those who are born again Christian will go up, and those who pretend to be a Christian and don't have Jesus Christ in their heart will be left behind. And that means, let's say there are about half, be generous, 500 million people went to heaven. Around 6.35 billion people on the face of the earth, one-fourth will die. In my rough calculation, that's 1.6 billion people will be dead. 1.6 billion people. That, folks, that means death all over. Death on the top of the water, death on the, your next door, that's death in your house, and death on mountaintop. Can you imagine the odor, smell of dead body? And you're thinking, preacher, I didn't come here to be grossed out like this. Well, that's the fact, guys. If you choose to stay behind, that's what you will face. Or you might be one of those dead bodies. You want to take a chance? Go for it. I'm going with the first load. Power is given to the horseman and given by God. He is in complete control. All this thing is happening to bring the repentance to the people. Let's continue in verse 9. And now the fifth seal, the cry of the martyr. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw that under the altar of the soul, those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. Verse 10. And they cry to with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge, underline you judge and you avenge your, our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Then the white robe was given to each of them, and then it was said to them, they should rest a little while longer until the both number of the fellow servant and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, and were completed. So far, what's going to happen on earth, and we're seeing what's going to happen, all of a sudden it's changing to the heaven. So if you see, you have the chart that I, where did I put that chart? There it is. If you notice one thing, now you can look at the chart. Top portion is heaven, the bottom portion is earth. I tried to divide it so you can see exactly what's happening where. And the reason why I had to revise it is because I didn't put it in the right place. When the fifth seals happen on the heaven, and the earthquake, last time I put it somewhere there underneath, and something is happening on earth. This is the only time when the seal is broken, nothing is happening. Only thing happening is in heaven. Did you notice in the world? Okay, now you can put it away. It says those people under the altar. If you've been in the study of the Jesus and the Tabernacle series, there is, remember the portion where you walk into the tabernacle area, there's the altar of burnt offering, there's a bronze altar. And when the animal sacrifice and the blood flow to the side, to the side of the bronze altar. That's what's happening. Remember, Leviticus and Deuteronomy speaks that there is a life in the blood. Those who are being martyred, their life has been sapped away from their blood. Now, these people were dying for the truth of Jesus Christ. They're bearing the testimony of Jesus Christ. Who are these people? Before we go any further, we have to understand three terms. Number one is church. Number two is what I would name as a tribulation saint who got killed. And the third group is tribulation saint who survived through this tribulation. Number one, church is the group who are born again Christian. When the rapture happens, if the rapture happens right now, we'll be gone. And those who are born again Christian, those who have Jesus Christ in their heart, will be gone. And some of you who don't have Jesus Christ will be wondering, where did these people go? And you're going to think that, yeah, alien took them, X-File. Those guys took them. If you believe alien, you are in the la-la land. There's a music for you. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Anyway, so the rapture happened, the people are gone. And that's the start of a tribulation. During the tribulation, the people will be realized, just like some of you left behind, will realize, uh-oh, I missed out the boat. I missed the bus. So now I'm going to repent. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then you become a tribulation saint. You understand me so far? You with me? Yeah? No? Yes? Okay. This is very important. If you don't understand this fact, you're going to be completely confused during the study of tribulation. Tribulation saint will survive, or some of them will be killed, like these martyr people. The people will be killed because of the testimony of Jesus Christ they are bearing. And Antichrist will have nothing to do with these people. The first thing he will do is he's going to try to eliminate all those people. Those people will be under the altar of God, and they are the one who is crying out to them. Then what about those people, the tribulation saints, who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Somehow they survive through the entire 7-year tribulation. They will go into, right after tribulation, Armageddon war, and then they will go into the millennium 1,000 years. And they will have a physical body. Those who went up to the heaven will have a glorified body, just like Jesus. That means there won't be a marriage, there won't be a male or female. I guess it will be it. But these people who survive through the tribulation, they will still have a physical body just like you and me. And those people will populate the earth for 1,000 years. I was wondering, are they going to get old? But then again, there won't be a sin. There won't be a bad thing. So they may not get old as much as we get old. You know, as we get old, everything hangs down. All the gravities that make an effect on and get wider and wider. I noticed that to myself too. Just cherish your wedding picture because you'll never be that thin again anyway. Let's go back to this original story. This tribulation saint who survived through will populate the earth, and they will face one more judgment. And those who survived from came out from this tribulation saint. We'll go there later. So I hope you understand those three terms. Since murder of these people are still alive, obviously this is the only portion of the tribulation, and this is not just representing them. This is not just asking for the martyr of these people. This is martyr of the old ages, those who died for the Jesus Christ. Hear me well, please. Is it a Christian thing for these people to ask God to avenge for their blood? After all, Jesus Christ and Stephen, deacon, first century church deacon, prayed for the persecutors. And then they asked them, for they do not know what they're doing, please forgive them. Why are they asking for the revenge? They are not asking for their personal revenge. They are not asking God to do this now. They understand God's timing, God's schedule. However, what they are asking for is, they are asking for the vindication of God's holiness and establishment of God's justice. And it will be done. All right, let's go to the sixth seals. And this, now we are finding the sky is falling. Verse 12. I look, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And you might want to put this is the first earthquake that we will find, one of the three earthquakes that we will find in the book of Revelation. And the sun became black as a sackcloth of the hair, and the moon became like a blood. Verse 13, and the stars of the heaven fall to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs, and when it's shaken by the mighty wind. Then the sky recedes as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island moved out of its place. And kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, and commanders, and the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountain and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. And for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The cosmic disturbance has been recorded and all connected with the Messiah's coming of the Messiah. It's been written in the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, and Zephaniah. And Jesus himself mentioned about it in the Gospels too. Martha is crying out, avenge us, and the people on earth, those who are non-believers, said, hide us. Did you notice something? They rather hide from the face of God than repent. This shows me that judgment itself will not turn people's heart. You and I probably thought one way or another this kind of thought. God, why don't you show your raw power? Then people will repent and come to you. That's not going to happen because we have a wicked heart. We have a law. We have a capital punishment. Literally executing the people. I know it takes a long time to execute the people, those who did wrong. But did that deter the people from doing wrong things? Absolutely not. If they can, they will get away. They'll try to get away from getting caught. Judgment will not deter the people's wickedness and the sins. It just makes them to do extra careful. One wise biblical scholar said this, during the tribulation time, the most expensive real estate property will not be the expensive house. It will be the cave in the mountain so that they can hide. For those who are in the real estate business, you might want to buy a few extra caves. But you cannot get the commission out of it if you are born-again Christian, so it doesn't do any good for you. Now, I'm going to ask you to underline the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb, in verse 16. You know, it sounds like oxymoron. You know the meaning of oxymoron? You know, jumbo shrimp, tasty airline food, female drivers. Just to test if you're awake. Okay, eliminate that idea. I'm going to get killed later. Oxymoron. It sounds like oxymoron because the lamb has wrath. It should be more like a wrath of lion, shouldn't it be? However, the lamb is the one who is the sufferer for us. Now it's time to bring out the justice. God's wrath is the evidence of his holy love for those who are doing good and his holy hatred for evil. Let me repeat one more time. God's wrath is evidence of His holy love for those who are doing good, those who follow Him, and His holy hatred toward the sin and evil ones. If you think that God is a loving God, so He should not punish any people, you're believing in wrong God. My God, the God mentioned in the Bible, is the one who is all-loving, same time He is all-holy and righteous God. And He will not put up with unrighteousness, He will not put up with injustice nor evil. He will deal with our evil behaviors. All right. Now that we are finding the sky is falling and these people are stubbornly believing that they rather hide from God than face and come to Him in repentance. Before we conclude, I have to give a reference and a comparison. Can you project that, please? Chapter 24 and Matthew and chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, there is a parallel line we can put it together. Soon as Willie put it up. Going once, going twice, there it is. All right. Chapter 24. After that. No, the first one, the false Christ, verse 4 and 5, and white horse rider. You were there last time, not the one before this. Yeah, there we go. Actually, it's the verse 4, it should be verse 4 and 5 of chapter Matthew 24. And white horse, go back. Don't take it too fast. All right, I'll just explain to you. Verse 4 and 5 of Matthew 24 talks about the false Christ. And that's the parallel line with the white horse rider, Antichrist. Verse 6 in chapter 24 in Matthew talks about wars. And that goes with the verse 3 and 4 of red horse talking about war. A famine mentioned in verse 7 of chapter 24 in Matthew. A black horse talking about famine in verse 6, 5 and 6 in Revelation. In Matthew 24, 7 and 8, talking about death. And pale horse, death, talking about verse 7 and 8 in Revelation chapter 6. And martyr was mentioned in verse 9 of chapter 24 in Matthew. And martyr was under the altar mentioned in verse 9 and 11 in Revelation 6. And worldwide chaos is happening in verse 10 through 13 in Matthew. And worldwide chaos is happening in verse 12 through 17 in Revelation chapter 6. Let's make our applications. Number one, there is only one God, one mediator who can bring the real peace to all of us. That is Jesus Christ. Many people cling on to the power of the United Nations. Listen carefully, please. United Nations is, in my opinion, is dumb thing. I think we should ditch that United Nations from United States and spending a lot of money for nothing. United Nations is, in my opinion, is nothing more than a platform for the Antichrist to stand. There is no politician who can bring the true peace to the world. They might be able to do that for a temporary base, a very short time. But it will be broken, I guarantee you, it will be broken at man's will at no time. Turn your Bible with me to John chapter 14, verse 24, please. John 14, 27. Sorry. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God is the one who is actually only one who gives peace. Please remember that. You cannot find the peace from anyone else. except Jesus Christ. And the ultimate peace will come, because when He takes over entire universe, it will come. Second application, we must remember that no matter what happened on the earth or in our individual lives, God is in control. All things happen to us are allowed by His providential will. Nothing will happen to you unless God says it's allowed. He has to put the stamp of permission. Otherwise, it cannot happen to you. So if things go wrong in your life, take a heart, be encouraged. If you don't believe God, it is no wonder why you have to bite your nails and you cannot have a sleep at night and you have an ulcer. If you trust God, you can have a good night's sleep because He will not let you go down. Let me put it this way. He didn't teach you how to swim so you can be drowned in the middle of the lake. He is the Savior. He is the Rescuer. Remember that, please. So when you face a difficult time, it is allowed by you, and He will provide you a way to get out according to His word. Let's stand up and pray.